Advent is made up of the four Sundays before Christmas. It always begins on the Sunday nearest November the 30th. This year, the Advent season is somewhat unusual in that the fourth Sunday of Advent today is also Christmas Eve. During these four Sundays, we have been doing something that's also a bit unusual for Advent. Since Advent is the time in which we look forward to the coming of Christ, the promised Messiah, customarily during these four Sundays, we talk about the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the coming Christ. However, this year we've done something a little bit different. Instead, we've talked about those unexpected times when Jesus makes an advent, an appearance, an interruption into our lives. And we talked on the first Sunday of Advent about that unexpected visitor who comes to us when we least expect it, but when we need it the most, and when God seems the farthest away. Then we talked about the unexpected call of this Christ who interrupts our lives and calls us into fellowship and to fellowship with Him. Then we talked about, on the third Sunday, the unexpected companion who comes to walk along life's road with us and who in the process opens our hearts and lives to God and to God's Word. Then this morning, I was not able to preach because, as you can tell, I have some serious voice problems. And there was no way I could do six sermons today. So Dr. Bailey talked about the unexpected return. That this Jesus who came is God's promise. That what God started, God's going to finish. And this Jesus who came is the one who's coming again and is going to fulfill all of the things that God has promised. Our meditation this evening is entitled The Unexpected Answer. The Bible says, today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father, as we think about the manger scene tonight, and the birth of Jesus, and the people who were there, give us some insights about the whole affair that will help us live more effectively for Jesus. For we ask it in His name. Amen. The unexpected answer is not Jesus. Jesus was expected. The Old Testament is filled with prophecies about the Messiah who is coming. The only thing that was unexpected was the time when He would come. When Jesus came, there were a number of people involved. There was some anonymous innkeeper. There were the shepherds who were out in the field keeping their flocks and heard the announcement from the angels, and they came. Later on, Magi came from the east to worship Him. Traditionally, and surely for a fact, there were animals present for the great event, lambs and cattle, maybe a donkey or two. Then at the center of this great event, we place the manger scene with the baby Jesus there and His mother seated beside Him. A lot has been written about Mary, particularly in the New Testament. The Bible says that first of all, she was favored of God. And all through the life of Jesus, we see the figure of His mother Mary. As He began His public ministry at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, His mother was there. In the middle of His ministry, the Bible tells us that once she came asking to see him. And at the end, when he died on the cross, the Bible tells us his mother was there. The Roman Catholic Church has deified her and called her Theotoka, Mother of God. But in all of those present at the birth of Jesus, we have one figure left out. He's someone who's always in the background. Someone who seems almost unimportant. Do you realize that this person is never reported to have spoken? And yet he's very important to God. You see, God chose him to be the legal parent of Jesus and to be his earthly father. His name was Joseph. If I ask you what Joseph's profession are, how many of you would say he was a carpenter? Raise your hand. But did you know that there is only one oblique reference in all of Scripture to that? In Matthew chapter 13, verse 55, we read of an incident in the life of Jesus when he began in his hometown of Nazareth to teach in the synagogue. And you know how a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. And the people are astonished at his teaching. And they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? And in all of Scripture, that's the only reference to Joseph's occupation. If I ask you the occupation of Jesus, what would you say? Also a carpenter. But again, there's only one reference to Jesus as a carpenter as well. When Mark comes to tell of the incident I just reported, he writes it a little differently. He says that after Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, the people were astonished and said, what's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? And did you know that Joseph and Mary had at least six other children? Four boys and at least two girls, because that scripture goes on to say, isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters, plural, at least two, aren't his sisters here with us? And then the Bible adds, they took offense at him. Did you notice anything about the passage I just read when it names all these people? There's no mention of the father, Joseph. Most scholars understand that to mean that by this time, Joseph was dead. As a matter of fact, the Gospel of Mark does not even mention Joseph at all. And the only mention in the Gospel of John is when Jesus is referred to as the son of Joseph. So two of the Gospels really don't mention Joseph. Very early in the story of Jesus, Joseph drops out of the picture. And it's a good guess that Joseph died. You remember he was with Jesus at the temple in Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 and got left behind. So between the time Jesus was 12 and the time he began his public ministry, somewhere in there, apparently, Joseph died. So, Joseph was a carpenter who died early. But there are a few more shreds of information. According to the genealogical information in Matthew and Luke, the ancestry of Jesus is traced through Joseph, who comes from the Davidic line. So we know that his ancestral roots were in the city of Bethlehem, a little village about 5 miles from Jerusalem. And we know that he finally settled in Nazareth after the birth of Jesus, when he felt it was safe to come back from his sojourning in Egypt. But that's all the historical facts we have. A carpenter who died young, whose ancestors came from David, and who had their roots in the little town of Bethlehem. But in addition, there are some personal things that we know about Joseph. And tonight, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, I want us to take a good look at this man that God chose to be his father. We know he was betrothed to Mary. Betrothal was much different from just being engaged as we understand it today. According to Jewish custom, betrothal was almost tantamount to marriage. A man got betrothed when he made a declaration to the prospective bride, accompanied by a small gift, naturally, and in the presence of two or more witnesses. Thereafter, the woman was called by the title of wife. And if the man she was betrothed to died before the marriage actually took place, she was called a widow. By the same token, the relationship of betrothal was so important that if the woman committed adultery, she was subject to the Levitical law of being stoned to death. Also, a man betrothed to a woman could not simply break the relationship at a whim. He couldn't go to her and say, "Give me back my engagement ring." Instead, by the Levitical law, he must give her a written letter of divorce. Now, knowing that helps us to understand what Matthew means when he writes, "Mary had been betrothed to Jesus. Before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So a betrothal was so important that if it was broken, you had to get a divorce. If it were necessary for you to select someone to replace you as the parent in your family, what sort of person would you choose? What qualities would you look for in the person to serve, for example, as the father of your children? What qualities would you look for? Well, the first thing I want to call to your attention about the man God selected to be the legal father of Jesus is this. He was a man of tenderness. He could have had Mary stoned, according to Leviticus law. He could have had her brought to trial. But Joseph did not choose that option. In spite of what must have been bitter disappointment, he chose tenderness. He chose to exercise the option of a quiet divorce that would bring as little shame to Mary as possible. Isn't it interesting that God chose a man with tenderness? Some people view tenderness as unmasculine and somehow not very manly. And yet that was a quality that God wanted in the man who was to serve as the father of the Son of God. And we men can learn a lot about how we should treat our wives or our children, our loved ones. It may be true that sometimes our loved ones do things that are wrong and which are not the best. But if God chose a person to serve as husband and as father to our loved ones, what would he choose? Well, the fact is, he chose tenderness. And do you know, I suspect that a lot of the problems that we have in families today, a lot of the brokenness we have in our relationships with one another, would be healed if we treated one another with tenderness. The second thing I'd like for us to notice about Joseph is this. He was obedient to God. You know, sometimes the commands of God are so hard. God tells us to love one another, and sometimes that's so hard to do. God tells us to be faithful stewards, to give a tithe, and boy, sometimes that's hard to do. He calls us to holiness, and that's so hard. And yet God calls the spiritual man to obedience. Do you think it was hard for Joseph to obey what might have been a bad dream for all he knew, and marry Mary. And yet the Bible says that's exactly what he did. The Bible says when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. Obedience to God. The third thing I'd like to share with you about Joseph is this. He dared to share the shame of Mary. He dared to share the shame of Mary. Love had a high price tag. There's never any red tag sale on love. There's never any half price sale on love. There's never any bargain basement price on love. No, there's no such thing as cheap love. And that was true for Joseph. He took Mary into his house. The neighbors would slander both of them, I assume. They would think that they had broken their betrothal vows. But out of deep love for Mary and profound obedience to God, he stood ready to bear the shame with Mary. Do you do that? Are you willing to pay that price for love? When your spouse does something bad or wrong or stupid or embarrassing, when a child fails or does poorly or goes wrong, how do you respond? Aren't we often more concerned of how it's going to reflect on us than we are about how that other person feels? Do you lash out because you feel somehow shamed and embarrassed? Do you reject that person and abuse that person, make that person feel guilty? Do you heap more shame on the offending party? Be honest, do you? And Joseph didn't do that. Instead, he dared to share the shame. No, it's not easy to enter lovingly into the faults and failures of others. And yet that's the kind of person God chose to be the earthly father of Jesus. A fourth thing we can notice about Joseph is this. He was a man who was in control of his own life, of his own needs. The Bible tells us that Joseph took Mary as his wife, but it says he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. Now I assume that Joseph was a normal person with all of the normal drives that people have. And yet for the sake of Mary, for the sake of God, he controlled his own passions and his own needs and his own desires. Are you guilty of demanding that your family and the people you love meet your needs, whatever they might be? Do you insist that your family do what you want, that your needs be met, whatever their feelings are? I know I'm often guilty of that. I want my needs and my desires, my wants satisfied in spite of what others might want. But that isn't who God chose to be God's person. He chose somebody who was in control of himself. I think we Christians desperately need that today. We need godly men. We need godly women. We need godly young people who are in control of themselves, who have their passions and lusts and wishes and wants in check. We live in a time of the me, my generation, and the advertisements say, do it, you deserve it, or give yourself a break today. And in this past year, much shame has fallen upon the Christian community because so-called Christian leaders had no control of themselves. There are so many marriages breaking up today because people have no control over themselves. And then there's a fifth thing about Joseph we can say. You see, Joseph gave spiritual leadership to his family.
According to Jewish law, as the spiritual leader, he had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day. 40 days after the birth of Jesus, the Jewish purification laws required that Mary go to the temple to be purified. And even though he was so poor, he could only afford 2 little pigeons as a sacrifice. Still, he obeyed God and did the best he could. And then in years to come, we know that he took his family to Jerusalem for the Passover. Had you ever stopped to think what kind of spiritual leadership Joseph gave his family? He may have died young, but his spiritual leadership left an indelible impression upon his family. You see, God had chosen as a father for his son a man who would give his family spiritual guidance. I wonder how many of our fathers here tonight are doing that. How many of us men are assuming the spiritual leadership that God calls for and are providing our families with the kind of guidance that will leave an indelible mark for good and for God on their lives. In spite of the limited information we have about Joseph, it's just amazing how much we learn about him. Here's the sixth thing we know about him. Joseph leaned on God for guidance. I'm going to tell you something you didn't know. When he was praying about how to handle the situation with Mary, he leaned on God for guidance, and an angel of God spoke to him. When his family was threatened by Herod, and he was forced to flee to Egypt, an angel spoke to him. He leaned on God for guidance, and he fled. And when the danger was past, and it was safe to return to Nazareth, again Joseph leaned on God and followed the instructions. And here's the thing you probably didn't realize. As far as I know, there is no other person in all of the New Testament who was spoken to 3 times by an angel. Have you seen any angels lately? Has God spoken to you recently? You see, often I think we fail to see angels or we fail to hear God because we really don't believe God speaks. Or we really aren't listening. How desperately we need homes in this country where godly men and women are leaning on God for spiritual guidance, whose lives are being directed and channeled by the guidance of God. And how this congregation needs the spiritual leadership of godly people who are leaning on God for guidance and who are obedient to His leading. No, history doesn't tell us a great deal about Joseph. He was a poor carpenter whose ancestors came from Bethlehem. He lived in a place called Nazareth and apparently died young. And yet there were qualities about the life and character of this man that caused God to choose him to be the father of his very own son. God chose a man whose heart was tender, a man who was obedient, a man who entered lovingly into the shame and the failure of another, a man who controlled his own needs and wants on behalf of others, a man who gave his family spiritual leadership, and a man who never stopped leaning on God for guidance. And to Joseph came an unexpected request. A request that was to have incredible consequences, for it was to change the history of the world. The request to take Mary as his wife. And to that unexpected request came what would be for many of us an unexpected answer. Because the Bible says when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. He said yes to God. If there is any present that you and I could bring to Bethlehem tonight and to lay at the feet of the Christ child, it should be our yes to God. Is that an unexpected answer for you? Let us pray.